Sunday means football. This is Sports Fan Football Sunday. We preview this week's matchups, recap and highlights from all the big college games, plus helping you set your fantasy lineup. It's Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Welcome inside the Sports Fan Studios. Week 13 action around the NFL. I am Air Jordan Gothy. Alongside me this week, and always, every week so far this season, Jake Reisinger and Matt Heflin, helping to get your fantasy football lineup set for playoff action, which is right around the corner, or you may already be in playoffs, depending on what your league format is or has been. And it's been quite a weird year, to say the least. We had the Ravens and Steelers play Wednesday afternoon on NBC, which is something that I've never seen before, because Lamar Jackson was on the COVID list, really half of the Ravens team. It's been a very interesting year. We have two games on Monday night this week. We got a game Tuesday night. I mean, it's just the list goes on and on and on. We're going to do our best here in the studio to keep you updated on what's going on in the NFL. And I'm not going to drag on anymore. We have so many headlines to get to for week 13.
News and notes from around the league.
And we're going to start with that exciting Chiefs and Bucks game. The Chiefs defeated the Bucks 27-24. Tyreek Hill set a new fantasy record, 59 fantasy points. 59. Three touchdowns, 269 yards on 13 receptions. I am unfortunately not a Tyreek Hill owner. Luckily, I didn't have to play him in any league. But boy, 59 points for one single player. Are you kidding? That's almost half your team's points, if you're lucky.
Yeah, like that's such an insane number. There's only a few people in the history of the game for fantasy wise that have scored higher than that, 60 points, and that's Jerry Rice and Kellen Winslow Jr. Like to be in that kind of company, to put up that high of a statistical game in one game, it's crazy.
Yeah, and that's way before I started playing too.
Yeah.
Way before all of our times playing fantasy football. And yeah, this is something that we haven't seen since we've been around, and it was quite a performance.
Tampa Bay just had no answers for him,
which is crazy because they have a good defense. But yeah, they couldn't guard him.
Well, in the second half, they came out. They had a good game plan against him. That's why he didn't get any more yards, because he should have had a lot more. They came out and double-teamed him, which allowed Kelsey to produce a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, Todd Bowles, you got to give him some credit. He did come out, and, you know, he game-planned around it better than probably a lot of defensive coordinators could have.
I'll tell you what, that Brady and Mahomes, we might not get a lot of matchups of those two on the same field, sharing the field, but those are always good matchups, though, when it came down to the wire in the end. A game that did not come down to the wire, the Saints and Broncos. The Saints won 31-3. The Broncos had a very interesting week. They had no active quarterbacks on the roster for the game, which is something that we haven't seen in over 50 years in the NFL. Undrafted rookie receiver Kendall Hinton was the quarterback, who had no practice reps the entire week. And again, this is a former quarterback who switched receiver his senior year of college at Wake Forest and was on the Broncos practice squad, but it was the only guy who had quarterback starting experience at the college level. So they're like, hey, go out there and see what you can do. Threw the ball seven times, threw two picks. Looked terrible in the game. I think the Broncos had, what, more third down conversions than they did pass completions? Is that correct? Which I believe is the NFL record.
Yeah, I believe it is as well. But I do want to give him some credit. His gloves are now going to be enshrined in the Hall of Fame.
Will they?
Yeah, so they at least he'd go down as a good, you know, at least a memorable moment for him in his NFL career.
Yeah, and for the situation that he was thrown into, like, he had no practice reps, like you said, and then he was already going up against Saints defense, which has been really good as of recent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, props to him for doing all that, and I don't think there can be really anything bad said about him.
Yeah, and again, this is probably one of the quickest games that we've seen so far this year in the NFL. It was just run on both sides of the ball. Hill, the quarterback for the Saints, I mean, he ran the ball a lot, and it's just, hey, the Saints came away with a W like they wanted to going into the week. A couple of teams who are looking to go into rebuild mode, the Lions and Jaguars. The Lions have officially fired their general manager and head coach, Bob Quinn, and Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia was 13-29-1 in his four seasons in Detroit, and the Jaguars have fired their general manager, Dave Caldwell, who went 37-86. In the last 8 years in Jacksonville, which is tied for the lowest win percentage in the entire NFL with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I assume Doug Marone's going to be gone at the end of the year. Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, did say he wanted to keep some stability for the year. Mm-hmm. So I think Doug Marone will be gone at the end of the year. And I, as a Bear fan, I am sad to see Matt Patricia go. I really enjoyed his defense.
Yeah, the Bears and really all the teams in the NFC North Division carved them up week after week, it seemed like, when they played them. And Matt, you called the prediction right last week. You said Matt Patricia might be on the hottest seat right now among head coaches, and that includes Adam Gase. And you're right. Sure enough, he got fired the next day. Yeah,
literally the next day after our recording.
Yeah. And again, this is, I think, a decision that was long overdue, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a 4-7 team. Am I a little surprised that maybe you should have stuck it out a couple more weeks just to see what you can do?
No. I've seen enough from Matt Patricia. I mean, when you bring this man in and he yells at a reporter for not sitting up straight, I think you've kind of know what you're getting. And it should
nail
have been
in the coffin.
It should have been fired 2 years ago.
Yeah.
There was just zero respect for him in the locker room. Nobody liked him.
And I think that was it, because the players did not respect him whatsoever.
And they came out on Twitter full force, and they were – A'shaun Robinson called him out. Darius Slay called him out, saying,
"No surprise there."
Yeah, he's like, "I was the problem." So I think it's a pretty big indicator that the players hated him.
Yeah, you got rid of a cornerstone defensive player, Darius Slay, which, again, the Lions have been very, very bad defensively. But this is a guy who's one of the best corners in the NFL and continues to be in Philadelphia right now. And because your head coach didn't get along with him, who now got fired a half a season later. It's just that the Lions are going to go back to the drawing board. They're going to find a new general manager and head coach, and they just have not had any luck in recent years for the Lions. Another quick note, going back to the AFC South division, Colts punter Rigoberto Sanchez was diagnosed with cancer last week, and he told his wife, I thought this was a very interesting quote. He told his wife, "We can't flinch. Keep striving and come back stronger than ever." I mean, those are strong words from a guy who wants to be out there. He had an option either to take some time and get healthy or play every Sunday. And he has chosen to play with his teammates, to be out there with his brothers and play every weekend. I'll tell you what, I give all the credit in the world to Rigoberto Sanchez. He's a fighter for sure.
Yeah, he's got the full heart for this team. He loves being in Indianapolis. Like, he was the replacement for Pat McAfee after he retired, and he's just been that guy. Like, mm-hmm. Everyone thought there was going to be a drought and they'd be cycling through. But no, Rigoberto, he's come out as a top 10 punter, and the fact that he's still playing throughout all this just shows how strong he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he did just have surgery too, so it's going to be hard to see, you know, what he's going to do out there.
Right. Hashtag for the brand. I know that's trending out there. Pat McAfee, he loves his punters. He loves his special teams players for sure. Will Fuller has been suspended 6 games for PEDs. He will be done for the remainder of the 2020 season and will miss week one of the 2021 season. Now, my question to you guys, will you pay him wide receiver number one money?
I'm pretty sure Deshaun Watson, after losing Hopkins, said that you need to pay him or I'm gone. It would explain the reason why he's been so healthy this year, though.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever played a full season in his career.
And that is going to continue as well.
But yeah, if you're the Houston Texans and you know you need to get a wide receiver back because Bill O'Brien just sent Hopkins packing, you're going to pay Will Fuller at least $12 million a year just to keep Watson happy, because Watson really likes throwing to him.
Well, there's definitely a connection there for sure with Watson. He's having a great year. But my question to you guys, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Brandon Cooks on a one-year deal, or doesn't he have another year remaining on his contract?
I'm pretty sure Brandon Cooks will be on a one-year deal for the remainder of his career.
So if he's not part of their future plans, the Texans, who don't have a first or second round pick in this coming 2021 draft because they're both the Miami Dolphins, now another team that's strapped for money right now, can they even afford to pay a guy like Will Fuller?
They would definitely have to find a way to, because Will Fuller is just a guy you can't lose. Like, if you just keep losing offensive weapons, then what's Watson going to do? And Brandon Cooks is still locked down for another 4 years.
4 years?
Four.
Wow.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
But there is a potential out in his contract.
Interesting. I'll tell you what, there's a potential outing for a quarterback right now, Mitchell Trubisky, but he will remain the starter for the Chicago Bears, along with quarterback Mike Glennon from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those two will continue to start. And speaking of Trubisky, we got to get to the Packers and Bears game. Packers defeat the Bears on Sunday Night Football 41-25. I hate to say it, guys, but I sound like a broken record at this point. Just real quick, I'm going to rattle some things off and you guys can express your opinions on the game. Again, Montgomery, only 11 carries in the game. Cordell Patterson in the backfield. Again, why? 4-for-10 on third down conversions for the Chicago Bears offense. Continue to struggle on third down conversions, and only 22 minutes time of possession. What was my big notes for the game?
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing to watch out there. I impressed myself that I watched the whole thing, to be honest with you.
Did you bear it out the whole time?
Yeah, I bared it out. The problem is when you have coaches that are so inept and so just incompetent, it just shows.
It's a good word to use.
You have Todd Bowles of the Bucks. He literally laid the foundation for what the defense should do, and it's just man blitz. It's just blitz, blitz, blitz. And he rattled Rodgers, and that was his worst game all year. But what does Chuck Pagano do? He has a three-man rush and just lets Rodgers just pick apart the defense every time. I don't know what you understand about this, but you cannot do that. It just, why would you let Rodgers get all the time in the world to process the coverages, this think about anything past more than 2 seconds? It just doesn't make sense, and honestly it's befuddling for that.
Yeah, and you're referencing that game a couple weeks ago when the Bucks or when the Packers made a trip down to Tampa Bay and they held Green Bay to 10 points the entire game. Rodgers was under duress the entire game, and the Bears for whatever reason couldn't take any notes from that game. And Rodgers, this is a team where if you don't send pressure at all during the game, you think, well, maybe the back four might be a little weak. Maybe they don't trust the secondary as much. No, the Bears have a really strong secondary. That's not the case. This is when you need to send. This is a defense that you have to send pressure constantly because you can trust guys in that backfield. And that you just that was not the case in the game. And you saw the results of it. Rodgers was just carving the Bears secondary up left and right because he had all the time in the pocket.
And the same thing with the offense. You have Montgomery tear it up in the first quarter with a huge run, and then you only give him so many runs. Time of possession against high-powered offenses is what wins you games if your offense cannot go
exactly
on pace with these juggernauts. But Matt Nagy, Bill Lazor, just don't understand that. They don't understand time of possession, which I think is an Andy Reid tree fault. I think that all stems down there. But when you have Anthony Miller calling out your head coach and offensive coordinator on this Zoom call, I honestly have to feel that I have to trust him. You have Big Cat, Olin Cruz, Lance Briggs, all of them calling out every single coach, and I'm going to have to agree with the former players because they know the best. Mm-hmm. And if they're calling for people's heads, then I honestly have to agree with them too.
Yeah, I mean, getting back to the defense too, like, you take a look at the elite pocket-passing quarterbacks of this generation. You would think of Aaron Rodgers. You think of Brady, Manning. Mm-hmm. How you stop them is pressure, 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 whether it's with an elite four-man rush or you blitz them. That's how you stop them. But you can't be passive and sit back and let Rodgers just make the right reads. You can't call a good coverage against an elite quarterback. He'll dissect you every day.
They have the number one left tackle in the league that's getting paid $100 million, and you want to rush three people on him? There's a reason why that Khalil Mack couldn't do anything. Because he's alone out there getting held every single play when you're only rushing two people.
I believe you had Quinn and Mack both combined for two pressures in the game, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Guys that's over $100 million combined for those two players in contract.
170.
For two pressures the entire game. I don't care if you're playing the best left tackle in the league. You have to be creative on that D-line, and the pass rush, you have to be creative, and they were not creative whatsoever in the game.
This is the second time in a row that Khalil has finished the game with zero pressures. So
is that alarming at all?
That is alarming. If you're going to get paid $100 million, watch Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald literally will be triple-teamed every play. He is the nose.
Still finds a way.
It's one of those things that, do I feel like he might be lollygagging because we know the season's lost and these guys are probably going to get fired at the end of the year? Maybe.
I mean, sorry to cut you off, but if you look at the numbers, though, with Mac, is that since his big contract extension, since he's been to Chicago, he has digressed in recent years, in the last 3 years. He has gotten worse significantly throughout the years.
And again, that comes with coaching. You watch Fangio. He was phenomenal with Fangio. Was up there for Defensive Player of the Year.
Because he's a creative defensive coach. He found a way to maximize his players. Bryce Callahan was phenomenal here in this system.
And you have to use them aggressively and use them in the right situations because Mac, not only is he a phenomenal pass rusher, he's a great run stopper and he can cover when he needs to. But when you just have him in the dirt and third and long and he's not doing anything with three people blocking him, it just doesn't make sense. You have Roquan literally right now is leading every middle linebacker stat, and he's not blitzing. He's not doing anything. He's just having him sit back there and letting him, throw Rodgers throw touchdowns on Danny Trevathan because we'd rather pay him than Nick Kwiatkowski, which is having a phenomenal year over into the Raiders.
Yep.
So, honestly, we're just looking at Ted Phillips and Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace's inept and incompetence on how to sign and how to draft. It's embarrassing.
100% agree with everything you just said there. Just to read off a couple more stats about the game, guys. Now, again, the score might seem kind of lopsided. The Bears, I know, got a late touchdown on the game, but 41-25 was the score. Now, in total plays for the two teams, Green Bay had 68, Chicago 65. Now, total drives, 9 each for each team. Green Bay had 393 total yards, Chicago 350. Now, looking at those stats, it doesn't seem like a pretty lopsided game to me at all. Is that including
kick return yards, too?
Total yardage, yes. I'm assuming so. So, again, it doesn't seem like it's as lopsided as what the game resulted in. I know the Packers had some great field positions because of the 3 turnovers the Bears had. Also, the Bears had 5 penalties for 45 yards, kind of just going back to their own ways.
That one roughing the passer on Rodgers where he literally just breathed on him, that was bad.
But that's something we've seen all year with just quarterbacks in general in the NFL. But again, just the problems the Bears continue to have, and we didn't even talk much about the offense with Montgomery having a big 40, 50-yard gain early in the game, and they just continued to not go to him in the second half. I get you're down, but even good teams find a way to get the running backs involved. Montgomery still finished with only 11 carries.
Honestly, it's
just
continues
to happen.
It's like Doug Peterson, and if you're a Miles Sanders owner like a lot of us is, then you know it's the same problem. They'll have like one or two drives. They'll do good. They'll forget about them. They plan for offenses that they want, but they don't have.
Right.
Yeah, and Nagy, you like running screens. Use Montgomery as a screen running back. Oh. He can catch. It's so easy to make it work if you want to pass. If you don't want to run, just use him because he's still a viable weapon on the offense. Mm-hmm. We have more than just Allen Robinson.
I don't think I've seen a running back screen since Matt Forte's been on this roster.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a shame because you have David Montgomery. He always leads the league in missed tackles. Why not get him in the open space and instead of shoving him up the gut for a 3-yard gain and then, oh, look, Cordell? Yeah, sweep. It just doesn't make sense.
The worst part is that when you call these plays, and again, I brought up Cordell in the backfield, just why? Why is he still in the backfield? But when these plays are called, it's always at the worst times. It's always at the worst times. When your team has no momentum, like, oh, let's just run a sweep with Cordell. Lose yardage and then just go back to the drawing board again because they just use these plays at the wrong time. Now, we got a couple minutes left here, guys, in this first segment. Matt, I'm going to go back to you here because the end of our segment, let's kind of lighten the mood a little bit. Now, we started this idea last week with we're nicknaming you the Miner Matt, and your gold nuggets that you find around the NFL, around social media about the NFL in either recent weeks or just some interesting facts that we may not know. Miner Matt, what did you find for us on the social media networks?
The Philadelphia Eagles, in the 2019 draft, they selected J.J. Arcega-Whiteside with the 57th pick. All right, he's got 214 career receiving yards. Now, let's fast forward a couple picks. The 64th pick, the Seattle Seahawks took D.K. Metcalf. Mm-hmm. D.K. Metcalf has 337 yards in 2 career games against the Eagles.
Oof.
Yeah, so literally a receiver taken after them has gotten more yards against them than the receiver that they took.
You're telling me that the team that got rid of Aguilar that now leads the Raiders in receiving yards and touchdowns for a guy that drops the ball and can hardly get on the field? Never would have put it past me.
Yeah, you know, teams were just afraid of drafting DK because of his 3-cone drill time, and that was what really fell all the way to the end of the second round.
Man, slower than Tom Brady.
Well, yeah, apparently that matters a lot.
All right, Matt, your second one.
All right. So Nick Chubb, top 5 running back in the league. Sure. Great running back.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter, he has 12.6 yards a carry. The next closest running back is Derrick Henry with 6.7 yards a carry.
Oh, half of what that of and what that Nick is, Chubb's is. Wow.
And that is when teams are expecting the Browns to close out the game.
Right. You're expecting the run, and you still can't stop it. Wow.
Chubb over Antonio Gibson, hands down.
You can't even deny
that. We'll save that for another time. Go ahead, Matt.
All right. So last week, I'm pretty sure everybody and their mother could see that there were a lot of fumbles. There were a lot. Now, just fumbles lost. There were 28 fumbles lost last week.
28?
20, yeah. Just fumbles lost. The next closest was week 3 with 18 fumbles lost. That's how many more fumbles there were this week compared to the rest of the year.
Actually, and you know what's funny? Mike pointed it out.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Our good friend Mike.
Yeah.
Wow.
He,
credit goes to him.
We were just, 100%, because we were just sitting there. He's like, you know what, Jake? There's a lot of fumbles this week. He was right, and clearly a lot of fumbles happened this week.
The car has left for sure.
Speaking of the car, the Raiders led with 4 fumbles lost last week.
Thanks to Derek Carr.
We're going to talk about the Raiders in a little bit.
All right. So this one was brought on by Jake. So the Steelers and Ravens, they played Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Dez Bryant played for the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Dez Bryant is the only player in NFL history to play 2 Wednesday games.
Really? When was the other Wednesday game? Was it Christmas game or something?
It was a while ago. I completely forgot.
Wow.
But yeah, he's the only player.
Interesting. All right, do you have any more, Matt, or is that it?
Yeah, I got one more for your fantasy owners out there. John Brown, he is what makes the Buffalo Bills a viable fantasy team.
I could believe that.
So the Bills offense with John Brown on the field in 8 games, Josh Allen, 28 points a game, Stephon Diggs, 19.5 points a game. But with John Brown not playing the 3 games, Josh Allen only has 19 points a game and Stephon Diggs only 14 points a game. John Brown is what makes the Buffalo Bills a viable fantasy option.
John Brown, please come back. I got Diggs.
Wow. And he's placed on injured reserve, so he's gone for the next 3 weeks, too. Yeah. Ouch.
You better get healthy.
Which is crazy. When he's not on the field, the team is worse. Interesting. Wow, you would think that his other receivers...
At least from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, you would think his other receivers would get more shares. Wow, that is very interesting. All right, Jake, you have one more real quick bonus one?
Yeah, I have a bonus nugget for you two Falcon haters out there. Okay. The Falcons have gone from 27th in pass defense in the first half of the season to 5th since Week 10.
They went from 27th to 5th since Week 10.
They've went from 19th to 8th in run defense and 3rd in total defense since Week 10, up from 18th. Only the Saints and Steelers are better in this season's half.
I'll tell you what. I'm not a huge Dan Quinn guy, but boy, Dan Quinn seemed like he was the problem.
Yeah, wow. Dan Quinn was the
problem. From a defensive coach.
And also you guys were the problem when I had to listen to Ruggs start and Carr start.
When you say you guys, I never said anything about Ruggs or Carr. That was all Matt.
You said Carr. Yeah. Carr was your quarterback.
I said I was thinking about it. Never did it. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to come back. We went a little long this one, but we're going to come back. We're going to get right into Fantasy Hour, quarterbacks, tight ends. Who you flexing? All coming up next is Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio 1330.
It's Sports Fan Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Welcome back, Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio 1330. I am Eric Jordan Goldie. Alongside me this week, Matt Heflin and Jake Reisinger. This is the pre-recorded show, in case I did not mention that first segment, because I am a very forgetful person. And boy, it is a late Friday night, long week of work, and that's why we're here so late Friday night recording this. So my apologies if there are some slip-ups going forward, because the first segment was a little rough and we went over on our time management. But nevertheless, we're going to move on to Fantasy Hour. Who you flexing? First injury report for quarterbacks and tight ends. Luckily, we only have 2 tight ends on the injury report who are officially out for today's action. I'm going to bring it up right away. Jonnu Smith, knee injury, and Mark Andrews with a thigh injury. Those guys will be out for this week's matchups. Now for quarterbacks, a couple guys on the questionable list right now. Lamar Jackson is on the COVID list, but he is expected to be activated on Sunday. Tua is out with a left thumb injury. Well, he's questionable right now. We'll see if he plays. Otherwise, Ryan Fitzmagic could be in the lineup, which we'll talk about here momentarily. Ben Roethlisberger is dealing with a knee injury right now, and Cam Newton right now with a abdominal injury right now. So he may or may not play on Sunday. We'll see. But also Matthew Stafford, I forgot to bring up. He is dealing with, I have Matthew Stafford written down, and I'm not kidding. I have Matthew Stafford in parentheses for his injury. I did not write down his injury. I just wrote his name twice.
I think it's his back injury for carrying that franchise forever.
Matt, you're going to lead us off with your quarterback pick of the week. Your player highlights for week 13, your quarterback pick of the week.
All right, so I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins again this week. So he's playing Jacksonville, weak defense. Dalvin Cook, he is playing banged up right now. Gary Kubiak said that he is beat up, so they may want to lean away from him while Minnesota's trying to make a late push for the playoffs. And then Alexander Mattison, who we'll probably get to later, he's also out. So this is a game where Kirk Cousins is going to have to take the reins and go out there and win the game for Minnesota.
Yeah, I know a lot of Vikings fans are not Kirk fans anymore. He's struggling in recent years, but Kirk Cousins is not having a bad year. He's having a pretty good year so far.
Just recently, he's put together a good string of games.
Yeah, and he's very underrated. He's still a guy who can get the job done. He can get his team to the playoffs each and every year. And I believe that, who knows, the Vikings are technically not out of it yet. They had to make a miracle comeback, but again, they're not a bad team right now. I believe they're, what, 5-6?
Same as the Bears.
Yeah, there you go. Look at that. Vikings are catching up to the Bears. All right, my quarterback pick of the week. We just talked about the Dolphins quarterback situation. Tua may or may not play. Now, I think he will sit. I think Ryan Fitzmagic will be in action against the Cincinnati Bengals, ranked 18th against the opposing quarterbacks in fantasy so far this season. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick has had 19 or more points in 6 of his 7 starts so far this season. He has also thrown 2 or more touchdowns in 5 of his 7 starts so far this season. The Bengals, on the flip side, they've allowed 17 or more fantasy points to the opposing quarterback position in fantasy in every game outside of their matchups against the NFC East division. Now, that's a lot of bad teams in that division. Outside of their games against Washington, Eagles, Giants, Cowboys, they have allowed 17 or more fantasy points against every other team in the NFL. Good stat to go off of right there. If you're a Ryan Fitzmagic owner or if you're a Tua owner, whoever ends up playing in that matchup, I believe Fitzpatrick will be the guy. Jake, who's your quarterback pick of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with a homegrown Mitchell Trubisky. Has dominated the Lions every time he has played.
You know, I thought about that. I brought him up week one when they played. I thought about that matchup. But I like it.
He's the lion killer. I just don't understand. Last 2 years has a minimum of 20 points against them each game, so that's 4 times.
He's the lion tamer and the Viking slayer.
Yeah, until the Vikings hurt him 3 years in a row.
That's true. It's a good point.
Lions have allowed 11 passing touchdowns in the last 5 games, which is pretty bad.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson lit him up on Thanksgiving.
Very much so. Trubisky has 3 touchdowns the first time this year, so I do think it would be a good start. This would probably be the only time I'm confident that Mitchell Trubisky would actually go out there and perform, at least get 20 points. So, I mean, if you're in a deep flex league and the two quarterback league, I think it might be a good pickup. Anything's better than Carson Wentz.
That's true. And again, Nick Foles did return to practice, and they did say Mitch Trubisky is the starter right now for the Bears. This is his job. Again, he has taken the reins as the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. We'll see what Trubisky can do. All right, Matt, who's your second quarterback?
Okay, so I'm taking Ryan Tannehill, and I'm going to lock him down for the rest of the season.
Okay.
All right, so Ryan Tannehill, he's playing Cleveland this week. Denzel Ward is not going to play, so that is a huge advantage for A.J. Brown, who's already having a phenomenal sophomore season.
Sure.
So that'll be an easy matchup for him. And then going forward with the rest of the season, Ryan Tannehill, his fantasy playoff schedule is Cleveland, Jacksonville, Detroit, and Green Bay. And if you're in a league that has a week 17 fantasy, yeah, against Houston.
Those are great matchups.
Yes, so he would be a guy if you don't have a Mahomes, an Aaron Rodgers, or a Justin Herbert even. I would lock Ryan Tannehill in as your starting quarterback for the rest of the season and forget about him.
And this is a guy who got off to a hot start in the season and kind of cooled off a little bit. I mean, he had some tough matchups against Pittsburgh and Baltimore, some other top defenses, and he's actually performed well. He's had 15 or more points in each of those games, so it's not like he's finding the end zone. Derrick Henry's been on a mission as of late, but Tannehill's still getting the job done. He's still getting fantasy points for you. He's a top 12 quarterback. This is a guy who you got to put in your lab going forward.
He's only owned in 65% of leagues. And
he went through a rough stretch.
For reference, Taysom Hill's owned more in more leagues.
Yeah, he had a couple games, again, with rough matchups. And I think that's why a lot of teams jumped ship and they wanted to put him on the free agent wire for a little bit. Derek Carr is my second quarterback pick of the week. Going up against the Jets, ranked 29th against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy so far this season. No, I get it. Okay. I didn't pick Derek Carr last week. He did terrible. 0 points for you. Had 3 fumbles in the game. I get it. I did not pick him last week. Okay.
No, the person to my right did.
But you cannot deny the matchup he has ahead of him on Sunday against the Jets. Okay. You look at last week. Oh, Derek Carr was terrible. Why can I trust him to do that? He had 3-4 turnovers in the game. The Raiders looked terrible. The Falcons of all teams stomped all over him. Hey, maybe he got 3 or 4 turnovers. He got all his turnovers out in one game. Maybe he could have a clean game the next couple weeks. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot through the air. Now, he does fumble a lot in his career, but Derek Carr does not throw a lot of interceptions.
Yeah, especially he fumbles a lot when he gets in the 5-yard line.
It's true.
Oh, no. Yeah,
that's a good point.
I have never seen any quarterback fumble twice that way.
To get touchbacks.
So I will have to agree that it's a good, obviously the best matchup so far right now, but I am a little concerned about Josh Jacobs being out and him playing. It's just abysmal, honestly.
Hey, Devontae Booker has filled in nicely for Jacobs and is absent. So,
but Derek Carr has performed horribly last week. I don't know how anybody could watch that game and be like, yeah, I'm starting Derek Carr.
I'm going to tell you why. The Jets, in their last four games, have allowed 107 points to opposing fantasy quarterbacks. 107 points in their last four games. The Jets, they're starting two cornerbacks right now because there are so many injuries. We're talking Bryce Hall and Lamar Jackson, not the Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, ooh, the other Lamar Jackson. They are not good.
Wasn't he a free agent?
He was undrafted free agent. They're not good.
Why is that?
You can you can destroy that secondary right now for the Jets. I think it's a great matchup. I'm trusting the matchup, not necessarily the player I'm going all in on.
Matchup.
The matchup is what we're looking at right now.
Good matchup.
Great matchup against the Jets. All right, Matt. We talked about the injuries. Mark Andrews, John Smith are out for today's matchup. Who is your tight end pick of the week?
All right, so I'm going to go Mike Gesicki on the Dolphins. So, pending Ryan Fitzpatrick being the starter, because it's looking like he will be, he actually throws to Gesicki. Last week he got a touchdown, and this week against the Cincinnati Bengals, who have had a bad tight end defense all year, whether it be giving up a lot of yards, catches, or touchdowns, they've just been targeted a lot by tight ends. So I would expect to see Gesicki to get a good workload, at least 8 targets this game, and that's what you'd be wanting, just somebody to get targets, even though he hasn't really gotten a lot of points this season.
Now, I will say I am a Mike Gesicki owner in a couple leagues. I am a little bit worried with the volume that has been taken away from when Adam Shaheen and Durham Smythe have been used in that offense for the Dolphins. They use a lot of tight ends, a lot. And Gesicki just has not been getting the touchdowns or the volume that he should be getting as a number one tight end in that offense. Does that concern you at all?
Well, obviously it does. One of the things that fantasy owners always worry about is somebody vulturing their players' touchdowns, especially when it comes to running backs. And the Dolphins have shown that they are willing to use all three of the tight ends they have on their roster. But that also means that they want to throw to the tight end. So that includes Gesicki.
I got you.
Honestly, and another important note that a lot of people forget, Tua being left-handed flips the whole field around. So when the field is right with a right-handed quarterback, it helps Mike Gesicki because most of his yards come on the right side.
So they do, and again, young quarterback is going to dump off to his trusty tight end. That's just, we've seen that for years and years in the NFL, is that they go to their tight ends, a nice little dump off, just nice little comfort zone. That's what the tight end position is used for young quarterbacks. All right, Jake, who is your tight end pick of the week?
Yeah, I get Kyle Rudolph with Captain Kirk's resurgence and Irv Smith being out. He has put up back-to-back 78% in snaps, which is the highest all year, and he's had double-digit points. Jacksonville is 23rd against the tight ends, and a good chance he can get a touchdown because your linebackers are horrid, in general.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Irv Smith is, I believe, out for the game.
Yes, he is.
So, out again. Which is great news for Kyle Rudolph, and they've been trying to get Irv Smith Jr. more involved in the offense, and it just has not clicked this year. He's dealt with injuries, just has struggled all around. Kyle Rudolph's been there, done that for a number of years in Minnesota. He's still the guy going forward.
Yeah, he's hitting Jason Witten kind of status at this point.
It's true. And he's still a trusty tight end, though. Yeah,
third down god. Touchdown here and there. I think it's good.
A guy I like this week, I'm going to go back to the young route. Noah Fant going up against the Chiefs, ranked 20th against opposing tight ends in fantasy so far this season. Now, back in week 7 when the Broncos faced off against the Chiefs, the Broncos tight ends had 10 receptions for 98 yards. They went to that position for a reason. They saw something on tape that they can exploit that against the Chiefs by using their big tight ends. And Kansas City in the last 2 weeks, to the tight end position, they've allowed a total of 44 fantasy points, 17 receptions, 228 yards, and a touchdown in the span of 2 weeks, Kansas City against opposing tight ends. Fant led the team last week with a reception and targets against the Saints. And I say reception plural because it was just one reception he led the team with.
That's how it be sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good play, seeing as Dan Sorensen and Tyrann Mathieu, the ones predominantly covering the tight end over the Chiefs, are by far one of the worst DBs of this year.
Do you have a second tight end you want to talk about?
Yeah, I do. I do. It's Austin Hooper.
Okay.
Tight end. The Titans are allowing the 8th most points to tight ends, which is a lot.
Right.
Hooper did come off a double-digit game last week with a touchdown as well. After his injury, he has been starting to see more production and getting more snaps. It's been going upwards, so now he should be looking around the 60 to 70% range with Harrison Bryant stepping out. I think he's going to have a good game against the Titans because Baker Mayfield, as much as a lot of people like to crap on him, he's gone 175 passes, I think, without throwing a pick. So I think
he's having a nice stretch.
Yeah, with running Chubb and Kareem Hunt down there, I think
puts the pressure off his shoulders.
Puts a nice pressure off. Hit him on a play action tight end touchdown. I think that we can do that.
Remember, Hooper is still working back from his surgery he had a couple weeks ago to remove his appendix. So he's still trying to work that back. Again, you can't just come right away and run 100% of your routes, run 100% of your plays. That just doesn't happen. It's going to take time. And the Browns have had terrible luck with weather to where they just haven't been able to throw the ball.
They've been playing
until
last week.
Yeah, so he had a great weather against the Jaguars. Hopefully it's the same this week. I forgot who their matchup is this
playing
week.
Playing the Titans.
Titans, excuse me, just said it. Yeah, that should be a great matchup. There should be a lot of points in that game. In order to keep up with the Titans, you got to throw the ball, and I think Hooper might be the number one or number two option in that passing attack for Cleveland. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick timeout. Our last timeout, we're going to come back. We're going to get into running backs and receivers, who you flex, and also our kicker challenge. All coming up next for Matt, Jake, Jordan, Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio, 1330.
Stayed up a little too late last night and forgot to set that lineup? We've got you covered. It's Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Back for our final segment of our Week 13 show, Football Sunday. I'm Eric Jordan Gothy. Alongside me, Jake Reisinger and Matt Heflin, helping to get your fantasy football lineup set for Week 13 as the playoffs approach in your leagues. This may be the last week of the regular season, last chance to make that final playoff push, or you may already be in the playoffs depending on what your league format is. No matter what the case is, we are here to help you get you set with our Week 13 lineup preparations. And we're going to start us off with our injury report for running backs and receivers. A couple guys are listed on the injury list right now. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the rookie running back for the Chiefs, is on the injured list with an illness, but Jake, he is expected to play on Sunday. Todd Gurley, dealing with a knee injury, he missed last week's game against the Raiders. Philip Lindsay, also a knee injury. Kalen Ballage with an ankle injury, but he's expected to go on Sunday. Again, Jake, we talked about that game before going on here for our third segment. A couple running backs were listed as out. Josh Jacobs dealing with an ankle injury. James Conner on the COVID list. And DeAndre Swift dealing with an illness. And Jake, you mentioned before the show that he has not been right since his concussion.
No, I think he's suffering from post-concussion syndrome, which happens after obviously getting a concussion. AP came out and said that he hasn't been feeling right, not himself. Says he hasn't been practicing at full speed, looking lethargic, all the signs of that. And hopefully he gets better because that's a not fun to deal with for a while.
I'll tell you what, if I was a young running back trying to find my way in the NFL, I would like to have a guy like Adrian Peterson on my team. A guy who can show me the ropes, show me what's the right thing to do, what's not the right thing to do, and just help me kind of learn the game.
Yeah, especially since he's been injured a lot too, and I think DeAndre can learn a lot from him because AP's been his biggest supporter this year. I mean, he even wanted him to start 2 weeks before he even got started.
Right. All right, Matt, for our player highlights, running backs and receivers, we're going to start us off with running backs. Who is your pick of the week?
So I'm going to start off with Devontae Booker versus the Jets. So last year, Josh Jacobs was sidelined 3 games, and DeAndre Washington, his backup, got 20 touches, 25 touches, and another game of 25 touches. Mm-hmm. So volume for backup running backs, the Raiders are okay with doing that. And Devontae Booker, in the time that he has played, he's gotten really decent yards per carry, multiple games above 5, 8, even a game with 10 yards per carry. He's been very viable for the Raiders, and against a weak Jets defense, the volume's there. The opportunity is there. He is a good flex play this week.
Yeah, you're right. He has filled in really nicely, even when Jacobs has been out or even in the lineup. Devontae Booker has performed at a high level for that team. This is the guy who got cut by Denver. John Gruden and crew scooped him up right away, and he's filled in really nicely in Las Vegas so far.
Yeah, and I honestly would probably keep him for the rest of the year because Josh Jacobs is averaging 3.6 yards a carry and not having the best year. I mean, fantasy-wise, touchdowns-wise, he's getting a lot of points, but as a running back playing, I don't think he's really good.
Which is crazy because Josh Jacobs currently sits 5th in the NFL in rushing, which is crazy.
It is very crazy, and if you watch him play, then you can just see that it's a step down from last year.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the inconsistency from being a Josh Jacobs owner, it has been frustrating this year, but it's just something you have to ride out because when he's healthy, though, I mean, he's still considered that running back one territory right now.
He can easily drop 3 touchdowns in a game.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, a guy I like this week, I'm going back to the rookies, Jonathan Taylor, going up against the Houston Texans, ranked 30th against opposing running backs in fantasy so far this season. In Taylor's last game, he missed last week against the Titans because he's on the COVID list. He was in close contact. He did not contract the COVID virus, but he was in close contact. Therefore, he had to miss the game against the Titans. But in his last game 2 weeks ago, he led the backfield for the Colts in receiving, rushing attempts, and total yardage. He is the guy going forward. They're going to give the reins right back to Jonathan Taylor. I expect the same volume this week against the Texans, who I've struggled this year. Houston has allowed 100 or more rushing yards in 9 of their 11 games this season. Houston has allowed double-digit fantasy points to running backs in every single game this season. Houston has also allowed touchdowns to running backs in 10 of their 11 games this year. Plenty of opportunities for Jonathan Taylor to get back in the end zone this week against the Texans. Jake, what about you for your running back of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Adrian Peterson because more than likely DeAndre Swift will not play this week. Adrian Peterson's best statistical game was against the Bears when he averaged 6.6 yards a carry on 14 attempts for 93 yards. That's only 30% of the snaps. That's with DeAndre Swift there. So with DeAndre Swift out and a banged up Bears defense and a torch defense, I think it's a good safe play. He has gotten, every time he's gotten more than double digits, he's at least had 9 points except for 1 week. So I think he's a good start this week.
Thank you, Lions. Now, not only do I have nightmares of Adrian Peterson running over the Bears in a Vikings uniform, but now I also have it of him in a Lions uniform.
Lions legend.
Basically. All right, Matt, for your second running back pick of the week, who do you got?
I'm going to be sticking with the same matchup, Raiders versus Jets. I'm going to go Frank Gore. So Frank Gore, every single game except two, he's gotten a minimum of 10 touches, 10. Adam Gase loves him, and he's coming off back-to-back weeks of double-digit points. You know, if you get 10 points out of a flex play, then that's great. The Raiders, they've still had a bad defense, even though after their bye week they tried addressing that, making some personnel changes. It still hasn't changed anything. Their defense is bad. So Frank Gore could get into the end zone again, just like he did 2 weeks ago.
We brought this up last week with Frank Gore. No matter what year it is, what team he plays for, he just finds a way to get in your lineups. I don't know what it is, but every single season, especially this time of year, he just finds a way to sneak into your lineup as a nice second flex option if you're in a two-flex league or if you're down a couple running backs due to injuries. He just finds a way to wiggle his way into your starting lineups. He just does it every year.
It's the same with Larry Fitzgerald, too. I mean, they're consistently good down the stretch of the year.
Exactly. Again, they're veterans. They've been here, done that. They know what to, they at this time of year, they know how to get in your lineups. Another guy I like this week, I'm going back to that Colts and Texans matchup. I'm going Duke Johnson Jr. against the Colts, ranked 13th against the opposing running backs in fantasy. Now I get David Johnson is expected to return. I still think Duke Johnson is going to be involved in that passing attack. The Texans, they just cut Kenny Stills. Will Fuller is down with the suspension. I still think they're going to utilize him in that passing game. The Colts have allowed 6 touchdowns to running backs in their last 4 games. 6 touchdowns in their last 4 games. This is not an elite defense in recent weeks that we've seen throughout so far this season. In recent weeks, the last 4 games, the Colts, they've given up a total, not fantasy, just a total 117 points that defense has given up in 4 games. That's a lot for a defense that has been really top 5 all year long. They have not been top 5 in recent weeks. They're vulnerable.
Yeah, Rodgers definitely inflated that number too.
Yeah, and Duke Johnson's mainly known as a passing back so far in his career. He had to take over the carries because David Johnson was out. Duke's going to get more involved in that passing attack. He could play in the slot a little bit. Don't be surprised if you see that. I think Duke Johnson Jr. is still trending upwards for at least this week. We're going to see how they're going to work in both the running backs for the Texans going forward. All right, Jake, what about you for your second running back?
Yeah, I'm going to go David Montgomery besides the fact that we'll probably be held back by Nagy and Bill Lazor. Coming off his first 100-yard game despite only getting 11 carries.
Yep. Majority is on one carry, too.
Yep. He did average 9.9 yards. On those 11 carries. It's nice to look at.
It's really good.
Lions are ranked the worst rush defense.
Yep.
It would be hard not to get him running. They have allowed 21 rushing touchdowns to running backs this whole year.
Yeah.
That is insane.
There are 32nd for a reason. Dead last.
They've allowed 13 different halfbacks to at least drop 10 points on them.
Wow.
Yes. So I think Monty, besides the fact that, you know, his offense will call dumb stuff, I think he's a good start this week and hoping to get at least 15, 20 points out of him.
I mean, even week one when we played Detroit, you know, Montgomery, Cohen, and Cordell all had high yards per carry. Like, we were dominant that week one running the ball.
Yeah, but that was his actually worst snap percentage. He only had 45%, and he still got 9 points.
You know what's crazy is that the Bears' offense is bottom 3 in almost every offensive category. But if you look at the fantasy numbers, Dave Montgomery has actually not been that bad this year. He's averaging 12.5 fantasy points per game. That's not bad. That's what you're looking for in number 2 running back.
He's actually 15th right now in all
15th overall, averaging over 12.5 points per game. That's exactly what you want in a number two running back for your team.
Especially for a guy who was a fifth or sixth round pick in most drafts.
Exactly. And it wasn't a lot of hope because of Matt Nagy's offense, but he has performed well this year. Moving over to receivers, a couple guys who are listed. One guy's out already, Kenny Galladay, dealing with a hip injury, or Jake likes to call it contractitis.
Very
he is out
so.
For today's game against the Bears, but a couple of receivers were on the injury list. Julio Jones with a hamstring injury. Allen Robinson got injured in Friday's practice with a knee injury.
Contractitis as well.
He's expected to play, though, on Sunday against the Lions. Terry McLaurin with an ankle injury, and Jerry Jeudy with an ankle injury. Small list so far. Again, this is the list we... If people are on the injured list up until Friday, usually you see a lot of players get removed from that list. And now this is what we bring up, players who are still on the injury report after Friday's practices. All right, Matt, for your receiver pick of the week, who you got?
All right, I'm going to go T.Y. Hilton to start off. So T.Y. Hilton playing at specifically NRG Stadium for the Houston Texans.
Okay, I like this.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He turned it around.
He has played in 8 career games there. And in 4 of them, he has gotten a minimum of 28 points. 3 of them, he's gotten 34-plus points. Yep. He has openly said how much he loves playing at the Texans Stadium. They got a nice field. And back in 2018, back when he did drop 37 fantasy points on them, the wiki for NRG Stadium had T.Y. Hilton listed as the owner.
Oh, no.
So, Wait, was
it last year or the year before? Didn't he show up by wearing a clown costume?
Two years ago.
That was
when he dropped the
20.
So it was
a statement game.
He's the guy who likes to taunt the Texans.
And after coming off of his best game of the year last year, you know, I'd rev him out again this week for a stadium he loves to play in.
I'll tell you what. First of all, I like that T.Y. Hilton play. I was a little nervous at first, but I'll tell you what. You turned it around when you started talking about that stadium for the Texans, how well he's performed there.
From Minor Matt.
And maybe this is last week's performance, he can kind of build off that going forward. But a guy I like this week, I'm going Sterling Shepard against the Seattle Seahawks, ranked 32nd against opposing wide receivers in fantasy so far this season. Are you guys buying Seattle's recent defensive?
That's called Carlos Dunlap getting mad. He is a monster. He has turned that team around. Honestly.
So are you buying the recent success on defense?
Honestly, I might go forward because like last year, the Chiefs defense, they still have the same people. Chiefs defense last year got hot in the end of it, and they took that all the way to the Super Bowl. So right now, it's possible. Carlos Dunlap has re-energized that defense, and they're playing with, you know, with a lot of
with
fire.
Authority. Yeah, the front seven might be good. I'm not buying that secondary. I think it's still trash back there. Since week 7, Sterling Shepard has had a minimum of 8 targets in each game since his return from his injury. He's had double points in each game since the return from his injury. All of those games versus teams inside the top 12 versus opposing wide receivers in fantasy, he has had at least 6 catches in those games. Sterling Shepard has had a rough schedule against good teams against opposing wide receivers, and yet he's gotten double-digit points. He's got a minimum 8 targets. He's had a minimum of 6 catches in every single one of those games. I think it's a great matchup today against the Seahawks.
Even with Colt McCoy starting.
Yes. They're going to find a way to give him the ball. I think Sterling Shepard and Darius Slay, they're going to find a way to give him the ball. The Giants, they're a team that's fighting for a division title right now. They are, believe it or not, they're in first place. Believe it or not, if the playoffs started today, they're going to the playoffs. They're hosting a playoff game. And say what you want about the division. It's a trash division. I get it. But they're fighting for a division title right now. This is a team who does not give up in their games. They keep the games competitive, and I think we'll get the same case today.
They have a lot of soul, quoting Matt Nagy and Jim Boylan.
Oh, man, this is going to be like the 2016 Panthers when they won their division going like 6-1.
Hey, they won at least they won that first game.
It's true. All right, Jake, who's your receiver pick of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Danny Amendola. So for whatever reason, the Lions cut Marvin Hall recently, which he was having a decent year. Yeah, they waived him.
That's surprising because he was on the field for a lot of those
He
snaps.
Was on the field a lot. Kenny Galladay out with contractitis. One of the only 2 games Amendola has played this year and gotten double-digit points was against the Bears. So, of course.
How about that?
Yep. He will be more than likely in the slot, which will be going up against Buster Screen. And if anybody watched the Packers versus Bears.
It's a good game.
You can see how Davante Adams made him his son.
Yep. Good game's coming.
Yeah, so I'm expecting a decent 15 points for Danny Amendola. Oof. Because our defense is horrible. It's not 2018, guys. Chuck Pagano's bad. Defense bad. Go Cardinals.
Okay. On that note,
And not to mention, too, Amendola always finds a way to put up a surprisingly big game every once in a while.
It's true. This could be that week. All right, man, who's your second receiver?
All right, I'm going to go Mike Williams versus the New England Patriots. So, Keenan Allen, great receiver. Obviously, he's going to get the coverage of Stephon Gilmore, another elite corner. So, Justin Herbert, who is looking to break the rookie passing touchdown record, he's going to have to find somebody to target because Keenan Allen could get locked down. Mike Williams, the number two in option in that offense, has put up quite a decent amount of points with Herbert. And now, here's a little fun fact. So, week 9, he got double-digit points. Mm-hmm. Week 10, he got under 10. Week 11, double-digit. Week 12, under 10. Now, week 13.
He's an odd boy.
This is his week to get above double-digit points. He's going to get the most targets on that team. I'm Revan Mike Williams.
Yeah. What's his jersey number? You guys know offhand?
What is his number?
81, I think.
Is it 81? So it's an odd number.
I think it's 81.
There's a theme here I'm sensing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Herbert just looks at Mike Williams and he's like, man, he's over there,
yeah,
I guess.
Throw it up there. He'll get it somewhere. All right, guys, let me ask you a quick question. Rashard Perryman or Jameson Crowder?
Rashard Perryman.
Perryman?
Yeah.
Perryman? You guys would both be wrong. The answer is Denzel Mims. Going up against the Raiders, ranked 19th against opposing wide receivers in fantasy so far this season. Denzel Mims has had seven or more targets in four of his five games. He's getting targeted a lot in that offense. His snap count hasn't dipped below 89% in those games. His yards per catch continues to go up. Big playability waiting to happen, I believe. Las Vegas, Las Vegas, they've given up 10 or more points to 9 wide receivers. 9 different wide receivers. The Raiders have given up 10 or more points in their last 4 games. 9 different receivers, 136 points in that span if you total all that up.
Are they starting Flacco or Darnold?
Pretty sure Darnold's coming back this week.
Honestly, it doesn't matter.
Honestly,
they're going to get Mims that ball. Think the Jets are probably going to, you're thinking going into this matchup, the Jets are probably going to be trailing. They're going to have to throw the ball, which is great if you're a Denzel Mims owner. You want to throw him out there, throw a little flyer on Denzel Mims. I'm rolling Mims out there this week.
If Derek Carr plays like he did last week, I don't know, man.
There you go. All right, Jake, who's your second receiver?
T. Higgins. Surprising. With Burrow being down, had 15 points last week. Clearly still the number one target. Actually had the most snap percentage of all year with 91. And Miami's 18th against the receivers. So I think it's a good game that he can come out here, still get probably around double-digit points, clearly because Brandon Allen likes him.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, it's all about, do you trust the Bengals going forward? But at the same time, T. Higgins might be that guy out of that receiving corps. Tyler Boyd's a good receiver. AJ Green, we've seen him take the back seat now, but T. Higgins might be the guy. He's the Bengals receiver you want to own going forward.
With Burrow in, Boyd's still a 20-point game. I still think he's going to be really good there. But with Brandon Allen, I think T. Higgins is going to be the number one target.
Awesome. All right, real quick, before we wrap up our show, we're getting short on time. Matt, update us on our kicker challenge. What happened in week 12?
Okay, so week 12, Jake, you had chosen Daniel Carlson. He got you 6 points. Jordan, you chose Tyler Bass.
11 points.
He got you a respectable 11 points. And I picked Jason Sanders for getting my third win of the season with 12 points. Thank you, Jason.
Week. Yep, I'm on a cold streak right now, but I'm going to start us off here. My kicker, I'm going back to Seattle, the great Northwest. I'm going Jason Myers. He's had 12 points in 5 of his last 6 games. He's on a roll right now. I think it's going to continue to happen. I'm going Jason Myers for the Seattle Seahawks against the Giants. Jake, what about you?
I'm going to pick Justin Tucker because he's going up against the Dallas Cowboys. I think it's a good pick.
Can't go wrong with the number 2 kicker in the league.
And I'm going to go with another big gun, too. I'm going to go Harrison Butker.
Oh, you're pulling another big gun. That's because you're 3. You already used Will Lutz, Justin Tucker. Now you're putting Bunker out there.
You've lost every single time you've pulled out the big 3.
Well, you know what? I believe in him this week.
All right. Guys, do we believe in the Bears this week?
No.
Going up against the Lions.
I hope
he lost 5 straight after starting off 5-1. The Bears are now 5-6, under 500. Do we trust them against the Lions, who the Bears have had a lot of recent success with?
Real quick on the losing 5 straight. Ted Phillips is 3-for-3 on firing coaches that have lost 5 straight.
And I believe the Bears set an NFL record for the second team in NFL history after winning 5 of the first 6 games to lose their next 5 straight. I believe it's the second team
still
in NFL
history.
Still
breaking records, boys. Historical. Woo! Honestly, our track record, we should win this game, but hoping as a fan, I hope you go out there and lose. I heard Trask or Zach Wilson's out there looking nice.
Yeah, looking at some young quarterbacks that will be in the next draft. I mean, you got Jones from Alabama. You got Fields from Ohio State, Lawrence. I mean, there's a lot of guys the Bears could look at going forward. All right, Matt, give me your quick game day predictions.
Oh, man. I'm going to go 24-17 Bears.
Okay. But, hey, that's better because there's actual scoring in that game. I'm going with another odd score because it just seems like when these two teams match up, it's just odd scores. I'm going 19-14. I'm going Bears. 19-14 Bears get a big W at home. Lions are a mess right now. Just fired their coach and general manager last week. Bear down. What about you, Jake?
24-10 Lions.
24-10 Lions. Not a lot of hope there. All right, guys, that does it for Week 13 action around the NFL. Playoffs are upon us for fantasy. Week 14, we'll be back next week for Jake, Matt, myself, Air Jordan Gothy. Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio, 1330.